Lord, we give you thanks this morning that we're a people, Father God, that even in the midst of a bleak situation, Father, can look to you, Lord God. Lord, that we can face adversity and, Father, what seems to be a dark place, Lord God, that we can even sit, Lord God, and know that you're on our side. That, Lord God, you're with us and that you're not going to forsake us, Lord. Lord, that we can have absolute confidence and trust in you and in your word, Lord God. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. What really stirs in my heart this morning. Imagine what it was like. Imagine what it was like for Moses. He comes out of comes out with all the Hebrew people out of the land of Egypt, and he comes out, and there's an army chasing them down, and the only thing between them and the army is this body of water, you know. And I love that. I love what the Lord told Moses to do: stand still and see the salvation of your Lord. You know, stand still and see the salvation of God. Sometimes we're so busy running around trying to do something ourselves that we forget to do what God told us to do. And you know, whatever it is, it might be stand still, it might be do something else, but do what God told you to do. Find his word for your situation. You know, and in Moses' situation was so clear, it was just stand still. Do what God told you to do and trust in him. That he's got a way through, and if he can part the Red Sea for people to run through, and then close it in on the Egyptian army, he can do some things for you, amen. He can do some things for you and I that you know we can't even conceive what he can do. But you know what's so important is that we have trust in our hearts, that we stir up our confident expectation, that we know that he's faithful to us. And never, ever let that be forgotten in our own hearts. Amen? So whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're seeing, see God. You know, see God in your future. See God working in your future. Amen? Praise the Lord. I tell you, sometimes we got to role play God into our circumstance. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, team. Why don't we give the team a hand clap as they come down there? Multi-talented group of people there. We've got two drummers amongst us there. We've now got three drummers in the team, and we've got three piano players. I tell you, it's just incredible when you've got multi-talented musicians that can pick anything up and just do something to the Lord's glory. So it's just great. Hallelujah. Was everyone blessed? You are finally separated, you know, sat and spaced out together. There's no gaps. There's a little bit of a gap there in the middle. If anyone wants to move forward, you can. There's room down on the front row here. Always room on the front row. There's no special seats for anyone. Just don't take mine, okay? So, but praise the Lord. Good to see you all, and it's good to be in church with you this morning. And I'm just excited about this particular message that we're getting into at the moment. And it's one of those messages that I believe is so foundational. The actual topic series is being battle ready. And how many of you know as a church that we ought to be battle ready? And we've just begun this series, so if you sort of missed out on last week's, it'd be well worth getting back into it. And we're called to a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare that goes on. And if you were with us last week, you would know that we considered how prayer must be persistent. We talk about spiritual warfare. We know that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's a spiritual warfare that we're called to. One of the first things that you know the Lord really dropped into my heart was this area of persistence in prayer. Sometimes what's needed is just to keep on praying and just keep on with the Lord, with that thing that he's dropped into your heart, the thing that you need to pray. Jesus taught his disciples to be persistent in prayer. So very important. You know, we just need to just pray now and just ask that the Lord would just touch our hearts through the word today, Lord. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for your word. We say it's a lamp unto our feet, and Lord God, and a guide unto our path, Lord God. It shows us where we are and shows us where we can go, Father God. And we declare today, Lord God, that the entrance of your word gives us light, Lord God, that we can see clearly. Even in dark places, Father, we thank you that your word comes in and gives us light. And Lord God, we thank you for it today. Lord, we open our hearts for it today, Lord God. And we thank you for revelation knowledge by the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives today, Lord God. Lord, truths that would change and even cement us, Father God, into your focus for our lives, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So I like a New Living Translation. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Say, never give up. Never give up. I like it. And, you know, it seems to me that the Lord has us dealing with this area of the right attitude when we pray. We've got to have a never give up attitude when we pray. So very important. And of course, it's been my observation that adopting a winning attitude is in life is biblical. It's actually quite biblical. Understand, I'm not just talking about being positive. There are many posts that you see out there in the social media that you look at it and it's a very positive saying and it says, wow, that's really positive. And you look at it and you go, hey, that's really positive. But they teach you to be half full rather than half empty. You know what I mean? It's that looking on the bright side of things. And there's nothing wrong with being positive. Or I'd be the first one to say we need some more positive people around. It's a better outlook than being negative, isn't it? But we see as Christians that it's not just about being positive. Okay, so you can post your positive sayings and not going to get any grievance from me. But God commends a people that will see that it's about his word that brings us through. It's about his word in our lives. You know, that's the positive thing that we should be connecting to in our lives. And of course, making sure that that's our foundation. God commended Caleb and Joshua because they had another spirit. You know, because they had a different spirit and of course, different from the other spies that went into the promised land to spy out the promised land. They had a spirit of faith. Okay, that's what they didn't just come back from spying out the land and decided, well, we're going to be really positive and not talk about the things that we saw and that though it was difficult and you can't go into this promised land because there's giants in the land and there's walled cities. They didn't come back with just a positive mean to put up on Facebook. They came back with the word of God because it was that they went in with. They went in with the word of God in their hearts. They went in with what God had promised. That's what made them positive. Amen. And that's where we should look for our positivity is from the word of God and what God's saying. Amen. They were not just being positive. They had realized that their covenant relationship with God placed them in a winning position. No matter how bad things looked. Amen. Say with me, I always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. You know, the right attitude is good to have. Some of you may have seen this picture before. How many of you have seen that before? Hands up. Ever seen one of that one there before? Never give up. You know, it doesn't matter how bad it looks. Don't give up. In other words, you might need to do something. But make sure it's the thing that God gave you to do. Press in. I'd say that's a very wise frog right there. Just realizing that he's got to think outside of the box to get through this situation. The teaching from Jesus about not giving up, it wasn't about just being never giving up. It's about always praying. And we've got to remember that. Isaiah 40, we looked at this last week. Isaiah 40 in verse 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a great scripture. Those who wait. We looked at this a little and we'll just recap it a little bit from last week. I love seeing those broom eagles. The broom eagle. I'm not talking about a footy club. I'm talking about the broom eagles circling on the thermals as you do around town. And those upward breezes that they just seem to be able to catch that just take them up and circling around on those, gaining that higher vantage point where we see what God is seeing. That's really the picture. And I'm always reminded. I remember back in our Bible college days in Perth, hearing a crow, you know how sometimes you can hear things and it gets your attention. The Lord, I just had this moment where the Lord really showed me something in nature that really caught my attention. It was this, I heard a crow squawking and what I saw was a sea eagle, or one of those coastal eagles that you see, flapping madly. was this crow trying to catch up with this eagle. And they were so, I actually could not consider that a crow would be able to fly that high as the crow was flying. But it was bent on trying to bring this eagle down, and it was clipping at it. And every time this crow got anywhere near this eagle, he'd just go like that. He'd just flap his wings once, and he'd just up again, up into a thermal. And, you know, the whole time this crow is, you know, trying to get a hold of it to try and, you know, bring it down. Obviously, he felt threatened by this eagle. But, you know, the crow is in that picture for me was such a great picture of the enemy. Trying so hard to bring down where we should be and bring us down from that place. Kept trying to attack. But, church, in times of trouble, or even an attack from the enemy, I tell you, we need to rise up with wings like eagles. We not need to just find a little corner to just tuck into and feel sorry for ourselves and get, you know, get to that place and feel so low and down. And we need to rise up. We need to flap our wings and let the Spirit catch us and take us up to another vantage point that we can see clearly, like we've been given eyes to see by the Lord. What we're seeing is how being persistent is helped by being connected. Being persistent in prayer is helped by being connected to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And just that connection, that daily connection, where we just purpose, where we know we've got to go to work and we know that we've got to get ready to go to work and we've got to do all those sort of things and get caught up in the busyness of our day. But first stop, first place should be just to connect to the Father's heart. Just that connect, just, you know, just begin to commune with Him. It doesn't have to be a 20-minute prayer. You might be able to achieve it in just a couple of minutes to just say, Father, I just thank you for this day. Father, I thank you that you're glorified in my day. Father, I thank you that you're with me in this day. And I'm looking to you and I trust you with my heart. I trust you in my heart now for all that you're going to do, that you're going to be with me. What was that, 30 seconds? But here I am, I'm connecting with the Father because I need that. And so do you. Amen. So do you just need that heart connection. Lord, speak to me today. Lord, I love your word in my life. Lord, let me hear your word today. Speak to me from your word today. It's life to me. 30 seconds, 40 seconds, a minute. But it's a connection. We're plugging in to that connection with our Father. And of course, we should do. You know, we saw last week how that picture of the rope, and of course how a little strand of floss that I had was quite weak and you could break it. But you get a stronger piece of rope and you actually just tie that piece of floss around that stronger piece of rope and it takes on the strength of the rope that it's connected to. That's what's brought about that corvor, that to gather together, to look patiently, to tarry, to wait for and upon. You know, that's that. Here we are. We're kind of weak. We're like a piece of floss, but when we connect to a Heavenly Father, when we wait upon the Lord, that's that twisted together. That biblical waiting on the Lord becomes more than just waiting for God to do something. That's not what that means when it says, but they that wait upon the Lord. We're not just kind of waiting and when's he going to turn up? When's he going to turn up? We're not doing that. We're waiting, we're connecting to him so that he can do his thing. He can do what he does best. Biblical waiting on the Lord becomes more than just waiting for God to do something. Waiting on the Lord is where our weakness takes on his strength. It's in waiting on him that we gain God's perspective, his view of the situation. It's in that connection with him that we can expect to be led by the Holy Spirit, to hear his voice in that place of trust. I don't know what it would have been like to be like Moses at that moment. You know, managed to get all these people to walk out of the land of Egypt with him and to have them all sitting there going, ah, that's the army coming right now. You know, to have that many people panicking and under your leadership. But for Moses, it was simple. I've heard the voice of the Lord. I know what to do. And then the Lord to say, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Wow. Can you imagine what that would have been like? And then to see the sea just open up. God. Wow. I say that to say this, is that your crisis is not too hard for God. If you've ever been in one, your crisis is not too hard for him. All things are possible with God. And you know, for some of you, you really need to get to that place where you hand it over to him because you know what? You're taking on way too much pressure. You're taking on way too much stress. And he wants you to know his peace. Amen. He wants you to know that he's got it all under control. And he wants you to just, you know, find joy in your life. And not the stress and the pressure of worrying about things all the time. You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. I mean, that's everything, isn't it? Nothing. When it says be anxious for nothing, it means everything can be brought to God in prayer and supplication. Heaven does not have a too hard basket. Can't give it to God and say, oh, that one's out of my... that one I can't handle. You know, that's too hard, that one. Heaven doesn't have a too hard basket. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you are just slowly starting to get the concept of what we're talking about now. You know, it's all possible with God. But the thing is, we've got to get it with God. All things are possible with God. But the problem is, a lot of it's with us. We're trying to handle it. We're trying to manage it. We're trying to work out, nut our way through it. How do we deal with this? How do we get through this set of circumstances? This impossibility that we're facing at the moment. It might be health. Might be a health issue that you're facing. But I tell you what, nothing's too hard for God. All things are possible with him, and we've got to get it with him. We've got to get it to him. And of course, having that connected heart is so important. Let's continue on with our understanding of persistence. Luke 18:1, and just a recap. It says, then Jesus told them a parable about how they need to pray at all times and not lose heart. In other words, don't lose your confidence. Don't lose heart. In a certain town, there was a judge who never feared God, neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that town who kept appealing to him, give me justice against my adversary. Someone had come against her. She was a widow, and there was no one around to help her. So she goes to the judge. The judge, well, he doesn't really care. He doesn't fear God. He's not interested in what's right or doing things that are right in the sight of God. He doesn't respect men because he's a person of authority and just doesn't care. Give me justice against my adversary. And for a while, he refused. But later he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or respect men, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice, and then she'll stop wearing me out with her perpetual requests. In other words, she just kept on coming, just kept on coming. And you know, this is not teaching us that persistent prayer will wear God down. It's not teaching us that. That he will finally give in to our pestering him in prayer and our repetitious prayer. Lord, what about this? What are you going to do something about this? No, that's not the message. Look what it says there. We go down to verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to the words of the unjust judge. Will not God... See, what we're seeing here is a comparison to how good God is. Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? In other words, the unjust judge did it because it was convenient. God does it because we're his elect. We've got position and place with him. And that's what motivates him. We're his kids. We're his children. And he wants to bless us. But you know what? Faith is important. Coming to him with a believing heart, a trusting heart, willing to cast the care upon the Lord because we know he what? Cares for us. Casting our care upon the Lord because he cares for us. He doesn't want us carrying it. He wants to carry it, but we've got to get with God. We've got to get, you know, those impossible situations with God and over to him. I like that bit about position. We'll get onto this because I believe it's a part of the attitude aspect of this teaching on being battle ready. But we should pray persistently because of our right standing in the sight of God. It's he that's made us his righteousness. And it's something the Lord dropped in my heart during the week. James 5:16 tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, whenever I've looked at that verse in the past, I've always thought, well, it's the effectual fervency. I just have to be effectual and I just have to be fervent. It's talking about being righteous. That's the thing that God did for us at the cross. That's the thing that he did for us, the Father did for us in Christ Jesus. We don't have to work at that. That's ours. And we just have to remind ourselves, hey, you know, we're the elect. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and come from that position of already being who we're supposed to be. Trying to be a little bit better so God can answer my prayer. That's not how it works. But when we are in that awareness of where we stand in God, what we can do is we can pray fervently and we can pray effectually and see circumstances turn around and change. A few chapters earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is again teaching on prayer. And the request of the disciples, they ask, teach us to pray. They're saying, because Jesus was a good prayer. He was always heading off by himself and having some prayer time. Jesus was good at praying. And you say, well, why did he need to pray? Because he was in a human condition. And in the human condition, we all need to pray. And we need to pray and never give up. We need to pray persistently. So Jesus teaches them what we now call the Lord's Prayer, and then goes into another teaching, yet another teaching, first one being here in Luke 18:6, but in Luke 11:5, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, and he will for the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. In other words, we're all tucked away now and we're sleeping, and please don't bother us. He says, I cannot rise to give it to you. I say to you that though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, because he sticks with it. He's not going to get out of bed because he comes and knocks once and he says, Look, I've got the kids are all in bed now. They're all asleep. We don't want to wake them up. We don't want the door slamming and waking anyone up and the noise in the kitchen as I get you what you need. So go away. But he comes. He says, no, I've got this. And of course, he's back again and he's praying about the same thing. And of course, that should be like us. Prayer without ceasing is a discipline that we're all called to. Prayer without ceasing. In other words, being persistent in prayer. And look what it says, and we go on a little bit further in verse 9. It says, so I tell you, and Jesus, through this story, says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Great scripture. Ask, seek, knock. You know, God wants us to be persistent in that. You know, it's funny how people are with prayer. They'll pray once, and if they don't get an answer, they say, oh, well, mustn't have been God's will. And they walk away. And persistence is not even in there. Yet Jesus, in two places in the Gospel of Luke, teaches on persistence in prayer. To just stay with it. To pray and never give up. His words, not mine. Pray and never give up. I just know that for some of us, there's some things that we've prayed about and maybe over a long period of time and there hasn't been an answer. I say this, Jesus said, pray and never give up. Keep at it. Ask, seek, knock. Keep at it. We're not trying to talk him into it, but we're positioning ourselves for the answer, the solution. So very important. The Apostle Paul also, Jesus taught on persistence in prayer. The Apostle Paul also taught the church to be perseverant in prayer. I believe Paul understood the power of perseverance in prayer. I really believe he did. He understood that when the church begins to cover their lives in prayer, heaven responds. When I say cover their lives, every aspect of your life, think about all of the things and all the aspects. I'll just let you in a little truth here, and I know Rosemary won't mind me saying this either. Well, she might, but she'll tell me later. when I was getting serious with God as a young man, I was probably 24, and I'd gotten into a church, a good church, that taught the Word of God like you should do it. That's a good church, okay, where they teach the Word of God like you should do the Word of God and put it to practice in your life. And I was in that kind of church, and I was hearing good teaching on a Sunday, every Sunday. And of course, I was in a shared house with a bunch of other young men, and you know, at the age of 24, I guess a lot of young men are in that situation. Shared house, And we'd gotten onto some really good teaching and been in a series about prayer. And I had worked out, sort of put it together in my mind, I thought, you know what? What I need to do is I need to make up prayers about my life and what I expect from my life and what I would see in my life to come. And I actually got a study and did a study around the Word of God and found what the Word of God said and turned that into personal prayers for myself. I prayed for a wife. I prayed for my marriage. I wasn't married. I prayed for our children didn't have children. I prayed for, Rosemary wasn't on the scene yet, but I tell you what, prayer changes things. It wasn't long that Rosemary was on the scene. I prayed for my business. I prayed for my job. I prayed for, there was a list of them. And the funny thing is, I still have that same book that I wrote that in. It was like a little notebook. It still sits in my, and every now and then I remind myself that, you know, when you pray, when you write it down, when you make it about the what the Word of God promises, it changes things. And I tell you, that was such an amazing year because it felt like I went from zero to hero in a very, very short period of time because my life turned because I started to become a prayer person. I started to put the Word of God first and started to, you know, make spiritual goals for my life around prayer and started to pray those in. It really worked and it changed things very quickly. And it's almost like the Lord said, that's the way. That's the pathway. Do this and watch what God does. Amen. You know, you can have a relationship with a local church and it's a good thing to have. But I tell you what's most important is you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father and it's personal. And it's with Him. And we encourage people to have that because we believe that's what makes up the church. People that have been called out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that's in that place that we find relationship with Him. So important. We're not here just being religious. We're here because of a real relationship that we can have with God. And we encourage people to have it. Amen. And it's life-changing. Hallelujah. Paul understood the power of perseverance in prayer. Paul knew that the work of the ministry is best undertaken and accomplished when God's people give of their faith in prayer and, of course, see life-changing circumstances. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, and take the helmet of salvation. Of course, that's that area of the mind, isn't it? That battlefield of the mind where those thoughts, those analytical thoughts are running around in our heads and sometimes steering us away from the truth of the word. And take the helmet of salvation. So it's a helmet that protects us. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, he says. Praying always. Being watchful, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, you get to praying, you start praying for people around you, you start praying for those, you know, in leadership, you start praying for those, that are in your home, your connect group. You start getting a heart for prayer and you start becoming an interceder, you know, an intercessor. Someone that's just always connecting with the Father's heart. And you watch out in that place, you get the Father's heart. You start to see as he sees. It's the realm of sons and daughters of God, is getting the Father's heart, beginning to see as the Father sees. And, of course, in that place, we start to see the kingdom of God just changing circumstances, the dominion of God starting to have its way around us. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. And for me, he's saying, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that. Pray that for those that are out preaching the word, that they may make known boldly the mystery of the gospel. And he says, for which I'm an ambassador. We just did in a series on being ambassadors for heaven. For which I'm an ambassador in chains. So he's in jail. That in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Praise the Lord. You know, it goes on. And of course, Paul is given to encouraging people to pray with perseverance. And he goes, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Even have it emblazoned on your cushions at home. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. How is it that we would be giving thanks in everything? Why is that? Because we're always praying. Because we're always asking the Lord. I like something that Jerry Savelle says. Jerry Savelle says this, and if you can look him up on YouTube and get some of his teachings, it's just good, solid teaching, Jerry Savelle. He just really puts it out there. And he says this, I'm always between, thank you, Heavenly Father, and there it is. And have you ever seen that sermon of his? It's a good one. He says, I live there. I live between, thank you, Heavenly Father, and there it is. In other words, he says he's always in that place where he's got a prayer out there, he's got his faith out there, he's believing for something to change, something to turn, something to be manifested that he's prayed for, and saying, there it is. And we can live there. And it's all right because we're called to live there. It's called being perseverant. And you know, it says here, rejoice always. How can you rejoice when you've got a problem that you're praying about? How can you possibly be found rejoicing and being happy about it? It's easy, because thanksgiving is the highest expression of our faith. Thanksgiving is the highest expression of our faith. When we express our faith and release it in prayer and thank God for the answer, you just expressed your faith in the highest way, because what you're saying is, thank you, I believe I receive. Thank you, Lord, that's mine. I have it. That's why we can say, rejoice always. So it's, you know, getting past that place of, well, I've prayed, but I don't know if the Lord's going to answer me. I don't know. You know, we've gone past that place. We're now in this place where we're confident because we're the elect. We're confident because of our position. We're confident because we're the righteous. We're confident that, you know, the Lord's ears are open to our prayer and he hears our cry. We're confident. And when we pray, we just release it and we then say, thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I have it. It's mine. I receive it. In everything, it says, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Ooh. So I've had conversations with different Christians at different times about that particular verse, and they say, well, that means if you've got a problem in your life, you just need to give thanks to God for it. I'm going, not my interpretation. No. If I've got a problem in my life, what I'm going to do is I'm going to thank God for the turnaround, for the situation to shift, you know, for God's word to come into place. And of course, believe for change, you know, find the word of God that actually covers that, you know, and pray it to him. And then be thankful and rejoice and be glad, because that's me acting like I've got it. Now, and I remember a time, and I'll just share this. I remember a time when we were facing a fairly difficult set of circumstances. It was financial. When we were first married, out of our realm of being able to do anything about it. Just difficult. And I remember the day that the solution came, the answer. In other words, this is how this problem's going to be mitigated. And the revelation came. And, you know, I rejoiced. I really rejoiced. I started, you know, woohoo, you know, throwing my hands up and just having a really, really, you know, rejoicing moment with the Lord. And I remember the Lord speaking to me so very clearly. And he said this, he said, see how you're acting right now? I went, he said, that's how you need to act when you've prayed, not when you receive. That's the faith that we should have when we pray. It says that we should act like it's ours already. Watch that transform the way you pray. You know, that we're really walking in that confidence. We're not glum and gloomy because of the situation. We're actually rejoicing. We're praying without ceasing. Now, that praying without ceasing is that communion, that thanking the Lord for the answer, the solution. And we're giving thanks because it's the highest expression of our faith. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, church, we're called to be a people of prayer We're called to be battle ready. And as we do, we'll run and not be weary. As we do, we will walk and not faint. You know, we'll see our heavenly Father's perspectives on situations that we face. We'll start to see as he sees. That's, again, the realm of sons and daughters. Begin to see what he sees, those spiritual glimpses, those insights, those even directions that he gives us. And again, gain his strategies for our lives and our families. And, of course, most particularly, the work of the kingdom of God, which needs to go on. Needs to go on. You know, particularly these things are true. We talk about adversity and problems and maybe financial matters or, you know, a stubborn healing problem. You know, but what about salvation for souls? The truths that we're talking about can be equally applied to salvation of souls. You know, where we just continue to pray. We see someone that we know that we'd love to see saved. Family member. You know, maybe a friend or a workmate. But we begin to pray and we begin to thank the Lord and just to, you know, even to begin to contemplate what it would be like to see that person in church beside you. Get excited about it and start to, you know, have a little hallelujah time. That's our faith being released. Amen. Let's get excited about the things that are important in the kingdom as well. Amen. That's not to diminish God's provision and, you know, is the promises of the cross and the atonement. It's not to diminish that, but to remind ourselves that, you know, our work is about the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand to our feet and we'll pray and we'll close on that point. So blessed to have you all here this morning and sitting under the Word. And, you know, what would really bless me is to see you doing the Word. Amen. Putting these things into practice and coming to me in maybe a couple of months' time saying, you know what? I've been praying with perseverance and it's made such a difference in my life. And it doesn't have to be long prayers. It's connected heart prayers. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we're a people, Lord God, that believe that, God, we should pray and never give up. That we should be about the business of your kingdom, Father God. Oh, Lord God, your will in heaven being done on earth. Lord, that we should be about that work. And Lord God, we see around us in our lives circumstances and situations, Lord, things that need to change. Lord God, that need your hand, Father God. And we thank you that as we pray, as we believe, Lord God, as we give you thanks and pray and ask, Lord God, and believe in our hearts, Father God, confess with our mouths, Lord God, we know that we'll see the result, Father God. We'll see the result in our lives, Father. Help us, Father God. Lord, as we connect, Lord God, to see what you see, Father. Lord, let us see those heavenly glimpses, Lord, those insights, directions from your Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Lord, help us, Father, to walk into all that you have for us, Lord God, your people. Individually, Lord, you love us. And Lord God, we ask today that your word, Father God, would be performed, Father. Lord, your word says that you watch over your word to perform it. So, Lord, we stand in anticipation, Father, of your word, Father God, being fruitful and coming to pass. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.